Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of HHE Podcast, the show I'd love to change the logo again, but Simon would kill me. Today I'm with Joe, and as you can see, we fired Simon for putting Chucky as the number one house at Halloween Horror Nights 32, and we brought in a podcast guru, the master, Nick. Nick, I don't know what surname I give you these days, because I know you've got different ones on social media.
Yeah, Roberts is what I go by publicly. I mean, the people that need to know my surname, and those that don't need to, I guess. I guess that's okay. The easy way of doing it.
I'm sure you all recognise his name, though.
Yeah, I'm quite disgusted by what I just heard, actually. So Simon actually put Chucky as his favourite house of Halloween Horror Night.
Yes, amazing. He did. Yes,
oh, I wish he was here. I would love to have had a conversation with him.
He's just heard his first 5 minutes and he's already throwing stuff at the screen, I bet.
He's raging.
Oh, dear. It's a terrible house. And I don't care what. No, it's not terrible. It's bang on average. Hey, Joe, mate, how are you, mate?
Oh, good, mate. I'm just a bit tired.
But... Yeah, so, guys, we're going to let Joe take control today and ask the questions. Obviously, Nick's come on because Nick did a Simon. He did a Snide. And he snuck over to Halloween Horror Nights. And I saw him for about 32 seconds because I had to fly home that day.
I would say it was nearer 8 minutes.
Do you time it?
I'm quite particular about time, so yeah.
By the way, if anybody thinks Chucky's the best house in Halloween Horror Nights, I've been waiting to say this, you can kiss these nuts. It's not going to show. There it is.
I've seen that. Is that one you picked up in Florida or did you pick that up here?
I got that in Walmart. It had to be an American authentic one. So it's going to taste like shit, and I know it is.
Yeah. I don't, I've not had the UK ones, but I imagine they're not much better. So
they taste like shit.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Before I let Joe take full control of this episode, Nick, I'm just going to ask a few questions myself, and then Joe's just going to take over. So when did you book this secret trip to Halloween Horror Nights 32?
10 days.
10 days before. So you didn't do a Simon who did it in April. And kept it secret from everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, that bravo, Simon, still, mate. Well done. Great acting. But Nick did well as well. But Nick got caught out by his wife.
Yeah, it's, I mean, look, do you want the story?
Or, yeah, let's give the story quickly.
Yeah, go on.
So I've been kicking a can around on Halloween Horror Nights. I was supposed to go in 2020. Right. We'd booked to go in 2020 in January, and obviously the pandemic happened. So we couldn't go. So I'd been itching to go back, and last year I was doing another trip at Halloween Horror Nights time, couldn't do both things. So this year was the first year I could like realistically get to do it, and I've been kicking the can around, and the person I normally would go with would be Craig. He told me very early on in the year that he would not be going at all, so I was thinking about doing a solo trip, and I was like, well, okay, well, that's good podcast content. Little did I know, a few months later, there'd be a bit of a fallout on the podcast and I would no longer be hosting podcasts around this kind of subject.
You know, can I quickly, before you go any further, Craig listens to this. I would love a podcast with you and Craig hashing this out and making it up properly.
The thing is, I mean, all I can say on the situation, really, and this is my kind of version of things, we used to talk a few times a week. We would talk a few times a week, and when I, mentally, I kind of like checked out for a while. So I was stepping back and trying to rethink my future, and it just didn't feel right anymore. And I was pushed into a corner about, well, you always say you're going to do something, so do something. So I had to do something. But I've not spoken to Craig since then. So since May, we haven't talked at all.
Right. Before we go any further, look, I think you need to get in touch with him, because obviously, as the day when I record this, 5th of October, my nan has passed away. So life is short. And
absolutely,
whatever problems there's been, it can always be sorted. Nick, we wanted to kill each other through COVID. And here we are talking away to each other.
We didn't want to be talking. I mean, COVID was a very funny time, full stop. But no, I mean, I think the problem with you and me, especially Phil, is the fact that I think we are more similar than we realize in a lot of ways. So I think it was just parting of opinion
many times.
Yeah, parting of opinion. But no, I mean, the thing is, you have to really do something bad to have a massive grudge with me. I mean, I've not talked to my parents in over 10 years. They did some really bad stuff. So that was the thing is, I knew that if I was going to go and do it, it was going to be solo. And I was waiting for the house announcements. Wasn't everyone waiting for the house announcements? They were just very slow forthcoming.
It's the reason I didn't go, Nick, to be honest.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, understandably, right? Because at the end of the day, I mean, going to Halloween Horror Nights, you're always going to have like some fun, right? You know, you're going to enjoy yourself somewhat, but you're paying a lot of money. And if you're paying a lot of money, like, you wouldn't pay £10,000 for a car if you didn't know what the car was. Do you know what I mean? You know, if they said, oh, it could be a McLaren F1, or it could be like a Ford, not Ford Rover, a Ford Fiesta from like 2005.
So you're saying a McLaren F1 Storm, like a Stranger Things 4, or a, as you said, the Ford Fiesta, a Chucky house.
Yeah, exactly. Less than that. But do you know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of money to spend out without knowing what's going on. And when they did start announcing the houses, and, you know, we got Stranger Things Season 4. I love Season 4. Then we got The Last of Us. I love both the show and the game. So then I'm getting itchy. I'm getting itchy. I'll do it for you. I'm retiring this.
See a doctor for that.
I'm retiring this, but I'll do it for you guys. So eventually, my wife kept you know, on at me about, look, you said you want to go, you got a bonus at work, why don't you go? And I was just finding it hard to justify having that kind of trip on my own. When I was looking, it was quite expensive, and without the houses being announced, you know, it just kept kind of being kicked around. And then she kept going on at me about it. Then my brother started getting on at me about it, because I kept talking to him, and he said, look, you know, if you need some help, I'll help you. Let's get this done. And that conversation was the Sunday. I'd booked it on the Tuesday, and I went the following Friday. That's how quick it all kind of happened.
Nice.
And in the end, and I've done my own video thing that I've got to edit and put out, where I'll talk a bit more about this. But the actual trip, the flight and the hotel, for the very short time that I was there, I got for $670. And
that's fantastic.
Well,
when I started looking at flights, just flights alone, I was looking at £400-£500 easy. Six if you wanted to include luggage, which I would have done. And then when I was looking at hotels, you know, £200-£300 on top. So I was pricing this up at like around about £1,000 just for me to go without any kind of tickets. But $670, I think, was actually pretty reasonable. And I think that's
bloody good.
For a solo trip, you know, I think it was, and I was lucky. And also, I flew BA. And Phil, you flew BA
that week.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
And so this might be a spoiler for another podcast, I don't know, but Ryan has just flown to Orlando.
Oh, I saw his problems.
Yeah, and his flight never took off. And BA have had a bit of a troubled year, I think it's fair to say.
There's been a few problems at Gatwick, confess. Last week, when we record this, obviously, 800 flights per day because there was no staff, so they're all off ill. And this week, I think there's been some strikes in the tower. So it's been a bit of a problem. And then we've had the train strikes. I think the train strike was the day he was meant to fly. So I do wonder if that stopped staff getting there.
Yeah, apparently trains were still going to Gatwick, but it depends on where else they weren't stopping.
Yeah, but I think about the staff.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I mean, the thing is, although there were trains running, where were they starting? Where were they ending?
Yeah, if it was,
in between, it's not going to happen. So I was lucky, but I'm one of those kind of people where until I've got through security until the gate is appearing on the screen and until they're letting you on the plane, I'm not really, you know, I'm still like, okay, something's going to happen. But one interesting thing that did happen with this trip, my wife noticed it. She said, you look excited to go. And Craig will tell you, P-Dubs will tell you, I never get excited going on a trip until I'm basically there. Because I'm always like just overthinking everything. But this time I didn't have to worry about thinking because I was only thinking for myself. And like the stress was off.
Yeah.
So it was interesting.
So
that's question number one.
So you went for four nights, correct? Three nights. You stayed on International Drive, correct? What hotel?
It was the Avanti Resorts. Avanti Palms Resorts.
Palms, hotel.
I know my hotels.
Because when I was looking, and this was a thing which I know it's not exclusive to BA, but just in general. So when I was looking, that one came up, and I'm looking on the map where it is, and I'm like, because I tried to book a Universal hotel, but that weekend everything was booked out, even Surfside, Dockside. So I found that one. I was like, well, actually, that doesn't look too far away from those hotels, so it must be quite near to Universal. And then when I tried to actually book it, I looked again. The only one that came up was the conference, the Avanti conference, which is obviously all the way down the other end of Via Drive. And in the end, I had to kind of like go in incognito mode and do it. And then it suddenly appeared again as if it was always there all along. So just a bit cheeky, but I mean, it was, as you said, I mean, I got down to you feeling what, about 8 minutes? I messaged you and said, like, I'm on the way before you go.
I said, yeah, my man's on his way to pick me up.
Yeah.
Take me home. I was like, it's weird because normally I'd stay for 3 weeks. So I would have had plenty of time normally, but this year I only went for 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah. And the thing is, I didn't even know when I booked it. I was like, I know some people are around, but I've got no idea who's still out there. You know, Mr. D was out, but he wasn't in Orlando until Monday. So I didn't see Mr. D. Unfortunately, just I ran out of time. But
Sinead had gone home.
Yeah, she went home the Saturday before.
Yeah.
Simon
had left.
Simon had gone home. Yeah.
I mean, the reason why I picked that weekend and not a later weekend was because it was the last weekend of Russia Fear. So I was like, right, you know, another way of saving cost is by being able to Russia Fear rather than just buy individual tickets or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that was it. It was like, it was that weekend or nothing, basically.
Did the hotel have a resort fee?
Yes. I want to say it was about $15 a day.
Okay.
So did you pay before you went or did you pay when you got there?
You had to pay that when you got there. And actually, that's an annoying thing. Not that, because it told you that in the small print. So I did see that there was a resort fee. But I waited a long time to check in when I got there. And I finally, you know, it's that usual thing where everyone's taking forever and you take about 3 minutes to check in. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what's taking everyone so long? But they said, you need to pay the resort fee and it's like, you know, 15, whatever it is a day. I said, yeah, that's fine. And then he said something else, but I didn't catch it. So I just, you know, tapped my card and it went through. And it was only later on I noticed that there'd been two transactions. And the second transaction was a $50 hold fee, basically. Yeah.
A lot of hotels do that now.
Yeah.
Have you got that back yet?
No.
I stayed one night at the Rosen Inn and I messaged them saying I haven't got it back because they told me that it takes 3 days. And then the people online told me, because you're using a European card, it can take up to 30 days to return. So I'm eagerly watching it because as soon as it doesn't return, I'm going to be on their case.
No, I did the exact same thing yesterday. I mean, I traveled with $20 cash and everything on my Starling card. And I checked it last night and it's still there as a pending transaction. So it's been taken, but it's not in their account and it's not in my account. It's in space. But it says there, like, you cannot, you know, unless you're claiming it as fraud, you can't do anything for 30 days. So I've got to wait another 2 weeks or so before I can do anything. I mean, it does say like you can reach out to like the hotel, and I'm like, how long is that going to take? Like, it's just an annoyance. Do you know what I mean? It is what it is. But yeah, it's just something to be. And the weird thing is, I don't know what the $50 would have been for. They didn't do room service.
No, it's usually just in case you break something.
Right. Okay. Oh, okay. No, that makes more sense. That makes more sense.
So now in Vegas, they use the resort fee as an excuse for, you can use the pool and the Wi-Fi and all that sort of shit.
Yep. Yeah. But in Vegas, there's a lot, you know, the hotels, there's so much to do at the hotels. Do you know what I mean? Like, you kind of, it's annoying, but you're like, well, yeah, there is a lot of stuff that you do in the hotel, or you can do in the hotels, and their pools are insane. This was a really basic, have you guys stayed there before?
No, I stayed there years ago.
Okay,
it was literally changed to the International. I went out a little nose in it for a couple of nights. At first, I was in the tower, and I moved out the tower because I thought the tower was stiggy. I got put poolside.
Yeah, so I was in the tower, and my review of it in a few words is it was perfect for me. I wouldn't have been happy to have had a family holiday there.
The room was
big, and it had two, they said queen beds, but I don't think they were queen beds, but like two large beds, you know, big TV, you know, lots of, you know, space, I guess, in the room, especially for one person. But like the bathroom looked unfinished. I mean, it clearly wasn't not finished because it hadn't been modernized in a while, but like there was exposed pipes and it just didn't, you know, it just wasn't great. And it felt very much like being in a motel rather than a hotel.
Because it's got so much land. It's got a great pool though, but it's got so much land. I would love it to be knocked down and put a whole brand new hotel there.
Well, just remind me whereabouts an iDrive it is.
Well, easiest way to tell you, 5 minutes away from my hotel near the Rosalind Universal.
It's kind of in between the world's biggest McDonald's and Surfside.
Yeah, okay.
Almost in the middle of that.
Because there is another Avanti down near Point Orlando,
isn't
there?
Avanti International Plaza, I can't remember. Avanti
Conference.
Yeah, they're just basic motel hotels, I call them, like Rose and Inns. They're okay to use, but when I stayed in the Rose and Inn one day, I said, I've got no problem staying here. I'd have no problem staying here with mates. I wouldn't stay here with my family.
It was like eight minutes walk to like the hotel, like to your hotel, which was across the road from a Walgreens. So after I checked in, I literally dropped my bags off and went straight to Walgreens, got some supplies to the room. What I would say as well about the room, there was a microwave, there was a fridge, obviously air conditioning. You know, some hotels you don't even get. Some hotels you don't even get a fridge. So, you know, to have that, you know, I was able to go to Walgreens, get some drink, get some water, you know, knowing that I had stuff in the room when I got back from Halloween Horror Nights was good. It meant I wasn't going to come back starving or something like that.
Would you stay there again if you went on your own?
Yeah. If I went on my own, absolutely, because and I walked a few times to Universal, and it was probably about a 25-30 minute walk.
Nice.
See, I haven't done that walk. Buses. I haven't done that walk since I've moved into Surfside. I remember that walk very well, but there's no point once you move into one of them.
You don't need to, do you?
Right, should we get to Halloween Horror Nights? And Joe, this is where you're taking over, mate. Come on, Joe.
Right, Nick,
practice.
Yeah. how many nights did you actually go to Horror Nights?
Although I got there late. I flew in at 3 o'clock local time. So by the time we didn't get in at three, we was due to get in at three. It was probably about 3:30. After you pull up, after you go through security, after you get your luggage, it was probably about 4:30. And then I got a lift to the hotel. I waited about 7 minutes for the lift to turn up. Didn't take too long. And then after I checked in, went to Walgreens, got some supplies, come back, freshened up. It was about 7:30, something like that. And I knew I looked on the map where it was. So I knew it was like a mile and a half walk, but I didn't know how else to get there. And I could see there was a bus that I could get on, a Lynx bus, but I thought, okay, when's that next bus? And it was like 15 minutes. I was like, well, I'll be almost there then. Yeah, so I just walked it. And it was quite nice. You know, that time of night, it's the sun's starting to come down, so it's still quite bright. You know, it's warm. So, you know, it wasn't like you were trying to stay out of the cold or anything. So, and I thought it was good to like just do the walk for the first time, so then kind of know what it was like to do going forward. But yeah, so I went to the first night. I was there for about 4 or 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday and Sunday. I didn't do Stay and Scream at all. So if you've got that question, you can get that one.
Forget that one.
But I did, like, for the Saturday and Sunday, I was there to at least 1 in the morning. I think half one was the latest I left. And that was just because my body was like, go home.
Yeah.
I was in so much pain that I was like, no, go home. But I didn't do Stay and Scream on the Saturday or Sunday when I could have done, because on the Saturday, I knew it was going to be really busy and just thought, sod it. And I was in the parts on the Sunday and I saw people getting starting to get ready for Stay and Scream at 2:30. And it was so hot that day. I thought, you know what? I can't just stand here for 3 or 4 hours to get a few houses done at the start of the event. So I just didn't bother. And it's the first time I've never done Stay and Scream at all.
Did you have Express?
I didn't have Express, but I did have a disability pass.
Okay.
Which one did you have? Because I had, we had the top tier one at my party. Which one did you have? Was you orange?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think they have tiers. I think they just do like
tiers. But well, no, there's tiers because with my one, you like you would go down the express pass, right? Correct.
Yes.
I didn't. I was treated like an RIP tour of the person who had it with us. We'd give it in the time like you. We'd be brought back and then we'd be walked around straight to the front of the queue, past all express and everything and straight in.
When did that get applied for?
Well, Melvin, who had it, obviously he had to have a mobility scooter as well, and he's no good with people around him. So when all that was explained, he got the thing with the official people. Then he did it with Universal. Once Universal asked the questions, can he stay in queues for long? And he said, not really, because he gets claustrophobic around people. And then they went, right, you're on the top tier. Oh, it's yellow or gold, it is. And and that was it. And, it, you know, same at SeaWorld. Disney's is slightly different, but the same sort of thing.
Disney have their own thing. I mean, the reason I asked that is because, so this was like the first time I've ever done that. And to explain why it took me about 15 minutes to answer Phil's first question. I've got ADHD and autism and only got diagnosed the end of last year. So this is all kind of, I mean, experiencing is not new to me. I've had it all my life, but knowing what it is now is new to me. So I'd never applied for a pass. My kids would also apply for a pass, but we've not gone since they've been diagnosed with a theme park either. But I didn't know what Universal's policy was. I looked into it.
It's brand new. It was literally dropped in a few days before the general public was told. So even the staff didn't know about it.
No.
So this is why it's been a bit of a cock up this year, because they've been learning on the job.
I think it's isn't it like the IBCEES or something, or the IBCCES?
It's a loophole to get around Florida laws, basically, so they can ask people about their disabilities.
Yeah, and I know it's very controversial because I know, people don't like talking about the disabilities. You know, personally, I don't see what the problem is, but if people do, that's their choice. But I had to download an app, I had to upload my photo, I then had to upload documents to say what I have, and put down my doctor's information. And apparently what the process is they're supposed to take that, look at it, contact you, decide yes or no, and then you go to Universal, you talk to them, and then they actually issue the card from their point of view.
It lasts for 2 weeks, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 weeks at a time. The card, so when you get approved, the card lasts for a year, but you can only get the pass for 2 weeks at a time, and you've got to go through the whole process again. Which is,
but the interesting is with that passes, you can, once you've been approved by Universal as well, everyone's still going to the front guest services when you can go to any of the guest services around the park at that point and they just give it to you straight away.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. Cause I didn't, I only knew the guest services at the front. So mine got approved after about 2 days and I just got an email saying it's been approved and the app, it said it's been approved. And then when you go to Universal, you just have to, they ask you some questions, you explain, which are the questions you already answered. So it's a little bit silly, but whatever. And then they explain how the pass works and you get the pass and it, they ask you how many people are in your party. Obviously it was just me. And when you're going to the parks, like how many days you're going to be there for, and then it's dated. And I mean, other than that, getting it was the worst part just because it took so long. But you know, it's my first time using it and it really did help. I think the difference as well, going solo, I didn't have any kind of distraction where I normally would do. So normally, like, I'd be with some people that I knew, standing in queues with people for a long time that I didn't know, and also the event is just so busy. It would have been really tough. I've got my own measures, like I have earplugs that I use, which the first time I've ever used them at that event, and it was a game changer in my experience of the houses. My enjoyment of the houses was far more than it usually is because of the difference that the earplugs made. So all little tips and tricks that I learned after getting diagnosed have actually helped my experience at the parks. But I'd also gone there and I said to myself, I've got 3 nights. I knew how busy it had been. I wasn't confident that I'd get everything done, but there was only some houses I really cared about. So Stranger Things, The Last of Us, The Yeti, Dragon's Fury.
Dueling Dragons.
Oh.
About 3 different names for it. they were the houses that I was most interested in. So I decided as long as I do those over the 3 nights, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Everything else was a bonus. In the end, I did 8 out of 10 houses and there was one house I had no interest in doing at all. And the other house, every time I tried to go, it didn't work out because of a return time. Or I was too tired to go when I could have gone. So, you know, all in all, 8 houses, I was happy with that. So
yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Going back to what we was asking earlier, I know you didn't do Stay and Scream, but did you go to the parks in the daytime?
So on the Sunday. On the Sunday, and also because my flight was at 8:50 at night, mm-hmm. I went. I spent the Monday in the parks as well.
Yeah.
I had 2 pretty regular park days. Like I think Sunday I was there from about 12 till I left about 6 to then go back to Halloween Horror Nights at 8. And Monday, I think I got there about 10 and was there till about 4.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, I think we're about to run out of time. So should we cut this off and then come back?
Yes. And we'll get really into the Halloween Horror Nights there. And play people, as you know, if you keep on listening, I'm a tire arse and refuse to pay for Zoom. Put the price down.
Right. And we are back. Right, Nick. So I think we'll probably start with scare zones. I mean, I didn't have the luxury of going this year. But I know the boys did, Simon and Phil. And from what I saw on YouTube, I was a little bit underwhelmed with the scare zones, mate. So first, what are your thoughts, mate?
You know what? Scare zones is a funny one because I always feel a little underwhelmed with scare zones in general. Like, I get what they're trying to do, but I think it's a hard task to do it when you're so open. And I think although there are opportunities for people to kind of like jump out at you and stuff like that, despite that, I think, you know, it's hard to get them to work. So I mean, I think now the problem is I brought home maps, and can I find them? No, because my wife moved them earlier. So I can't remember all the names of scare zones, but the one that you know, I do know the name of, and was the one that I had the most fun in, was Vamp 69.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because it was a party atmosphere. You know, it was really good. What one thing that was interesting when I was there, was it a Friday or Saturday? It doesn't matter. But I did hear that people were saying that some people got, I think it was their friends or something, got turned away because they'd come dressed in 60s clothing.
Oh.
Yeah, because of the scare actors. Yeah, I kind of get that. If he was getting too much like them.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agreed. You know, I completely understood why they would do something like that.
Yeah, surely you'd know that before you went anyway. I mean,
they have a no costume rule, right?
Yeah.
You know, whenever you're in a, you know, if you're like me and in lots of different Universal and Halloween Horror Night groups, you know, people are always like, oh, is this costume too much? It's like them in like a skimpy Chucky outfit.
In all fairness, like, it has been very vague the last couple of years, though. So I think that's been the problem. Universal,
I think if you can be,
lines.
I think if you can in any way be confused by one of their own performers, you're not coming in. Mm. And I don't think that's unreasonable because the problem is, I mean, I saw no trouble this year. It's the first time in a while that I've not seen any trouble. The last two times that I went, I did.
Yeah, I didn't see any fights. Good point.
Didn't see any fights. Didn't see anyone vomiting in bushes or
floor. I saw one person vomiting in a bin at Jimmy Fallon. But then again, Craig, well,
that's
probably
what it comes to the attraction.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, Craig.
Yeah, sorry, mate. I know it's your favourite, but it is what it is.
Oh, it's dreadful. It's all good.
But so that was a scare zone that stood out for me the most. What was the scare zone in San Francisco,
Phil?
Is that the I don't know. Yeah, is it San Francisco near Harry Potter or
no? Boom? Well, yeah, San Francisco is Fast and Furious, so where Chucky was.
What's it called? Shipyard 89 or something, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think you're right. 69. That one was good. Like there was some good. Obviously, the fan favorite scare actor of the year was in that zone. The bat on stilts.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that looked cool. I must admit, that looked so cool.
Yeah.
And it'd be R32.
Okay. But I mean, to be honest, the best scare zone I saw this year wasn't the scare zone. It was the Megans. The Megans were great.
Yeah, it's just only because you had to hunt them down.
I didn't. That was the thing. Oh, so
see, you're just lucky. See.
Well, so what happened was, the hardest thing about the whole trip was my daughter. She was devastated that I was going, not because of where I was going or anything like that, just because I was going away. And she just watched the film Megan, probably the weekend before or something. She wanted to dress up as Megan for Halloween. She's going to a Halloween party. So I said, well, you should probably watch the film. Now, bad parent that I am, she is 10. But she wanted to watch Stranger Things last year, and we said, well, what, you can watch an episode on a Sunday morning and see how you get on with it. And we did that for a couple of weekends, and then it became like a nightly thing because she just enjoyed it so much. And she was obviously okay with the content. You know, we tried to be responsible with it. And I'd seen Megan at the cinema. I knew it wasn't a particularly violent
it's
film.
Not scary. It's not really scary either.
So it's very tongue in cheek. So I thought, no, I'm sure she'll be fine with it. And so we watched it on a Sunday morning. She enjoyed it. So when I told her that there was these Megans at the park, she said, what I'd like you to do is take some video of the Megans. So I was like, okay. And what I did when I went there on the Saturday, I looked online to try and see where the Megans, I couldn't even find where the Megans were supposed to come out.
There was it was sort of like tried kept secret and people started to figure it out.
Yeah, well, it was across from Mel's Dining and just in front of Chucky, that area there. So I got there and I thought, and I saw some photos and realized where that was. So I was like, okay, so if I stay by Mel's, they might come out. I had no idea what their time frame was or anything. And I said to myself, right, I'm going to stay here. I'll give it half an hour. And if I don't see anything, you know, I'll just carry on with my night. And about 10 past 7, 8, I can't even remember what time I was there, but whatever time it was 10 past the hour. And I started to see these black shoes underneath the gates across the Mel's. And I thought, okay, that's one person. Then I saw about two or three more people. And I was like, okay, I think this is where it's going to happen. And I just sat there with my phone on my tripod, and someone actually came over to me and said, oh, do you know when the Megans are coming out? And I'm like, sorry, mate, I don't even know if they are coming out. I said, I'm just waiting here in the hope that they do. Because I think he thought I was live streaming or something, I guess, because a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And then probably about quarter past the hour, I saw a security guard come out of the side door. And I was like, okay, I think it's happening. And hit record, and lo and behold, the first Megan came out. And, you know, they kind of start walking over, and then, you know, one goes to the go position, and then other Megans just come out from all different places, and then they start doing a little dance routine. But it was just fun. It was fun. Yeah. It was cool. I think because it's been like the horror film of the year so far. Everyone's hyped about it. Obviously, it was very meme worthy film, and yeah, everyone had a good time. And once they do their performance, they allow a short queue to form to have their picture taken with them.
Yeah.
And I managed to get in just before the end. And I mean, it was, I don't know how many people, I didn't count how many people were there, but like I got into the line, and then someone else got in behind me, and then she said, right, that's the end. And anyone else that came up, they were like, nope, that's it. So there must have been about 20 maybe people in front of me.
Awesome.
And that was it. So each performance, that's what they do. If you want to have your picture taken, you've got to get in there quick.
I've got to say as well, whoever did the casting for those girls did an amazing job. They look exactly like Megan.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I've watched the video. You know, obviously when I came back, I showed my daughter the video, airplayed it to the TV, and it looks good. It looks good. Yeah. Like they do genuinely look good. You know, they don't all look identical, and they wouldn't do. But they've nailed it. They've done really well with it. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a nice addition. It's a shame it's being done like it is, and I fully expect a Megan House to be part of next year's show.
It's a big possibility for that.
Yeah, and that would probably drag me back.
So I've got a question. What was your worst scare zone, and why was Dr. Oddfellow's Collection of Horror the worst one?
Is that the one in right Hollywood?
No, that's one right at the front. Oh. The one in Hollywood's Dark Zodiac.
Yeah. My God, like, what was the point of it? Really, what was the point of it? I when I went in there the first night, and obviously that's the first thing you encounter, I'm like, what is this? Mm-hmm. You know, the one they did, was it 2019 when they did the one that was based around the arcade machine?
Yeah, that was an arcade.
So good. You know, the whole area was themed, and you know, obviously
didn't work in the daytime though. Well, only worked in the night.
No, but you know, that's I mean, to be honest, many scare zones don't work during the daytime anyway.
Yeah.
But no, of course, at night when it starts to get properly dark, beautiful. This one just seemed like a complete waste of time. And there seemed to be, at times, points where they crossed over. So people from Dark Zodiac would just start walking up to the front of the park as well. So I really didn't know what was going on. It just seemed very weird. And I never saw Dr. Oddfellow there. At all.
I saw him a few times. I saw him on the stage as well. So I kind of got it, but it just wasn't my cup of tea. We want to move on quickly to let's get off these scare zones. Let's move over to the tribute stores. Which one was your favorite out of two? What was there? We had Jurassic Park's one, and we obviously had the Halloween Horror Nights comic book one.
Good question. I think Jurassic Park, just because of how they did it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I didn't even know. So, again, although I'd been up Hollywood, I think because obviously at night it's closed and it's not lit up, I didn't even notice it. So it was only when I went to the park on the Sunday that I saw the tribute store, and I was like, Jesus, it's still here?
I think it shut down this weekend.
Yes. Yeah. I had no idea until someone pointed out that it just closed. But I think, you know, because they had the things in there, I mean, I didn't have any photos taken because, again, I was solo. But, you know, the fact you could have your picture taken on the toilet, the fact they had the kitchen sequence, the Velociraptors, it was just a really well-done shop. And it's not to say that the Halloween Horror Nights one wasn't, but if you think about Halloween Horror Night tribute stores before, when, you know, they had Slimer and Demogorgons.
Ghostbusters,
Yeah. And this felt like in regards to what they've done before, it felt quite generic as a shop. And so, you know, it was cool, but I remember going in there on the Friday and it was chaos, absolute chaos. Like you could barely move in there. I don't know what you can do about that in terms of kind of spacing it out, but I also felt, I mean, I didn't come back with other than my freestyle cup, which has made a few appearances. I didn't come back with any Halloween Horror Night merchandise. I almost come back with that, actually.
Yeah.
It was a toss up between that or the Universal Retro hat. And I didn't get the Universal Retro hat because I hate the fact it just says Universal Studios and not Universal Studios Florida, because the sign doesn't look right. It's half done. So I chickened out. But I thought the Halloween Horror Night merchandise in total this year was quite poor. Yeah. I liked that Last of Us t-shirt that sold out before the event even started.
Yeah, exactly. The Groot one.
Yeah.
The Groot. I am Groot.
I like that one. I mean, the black one obviously looks quite similar, but it didn't look as nice. So I didn't get that either. I was disappointed with the merchandise. Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing, because just a very quick little sidebar. When I left in 2019, I upgraded my ticket to an annual pass, expecting to go back in 2020. Because I never used the pass, I assumed that it was still valid. And after I booked my trip, I contacted Universal to just say, here's my card, can you just confirm that, you know, it's still good to go? And they said, no, it ran out in December 2020. And I was like, but I never used the card. And they looked into it and they said, oh, because you upgraded from, a 2-week ticket, they automatically started the annual pass on the day you upgraded. And when I upgraded it, I said to him, when does this start? And he said, oh, next time you scan it. So I then took that to mean, okay, so that then starts next year when I come back and I scan my card.
Yeah.
So I said, like, you know, I'm a bit disappointed by it. I didn't know what I was going to do. But Universal's customer service was great. I messaged them. I sent an email first, and after I didn't get a response, I then messaged them on Facebook. So that was the first response I got back, was on Messenger, and she offered me tickets for my weekend. She said, just tell me what days you need tickets for and I'll get them for you. But then I got an email response from someone else at Universal's customer service team who just said, you know, because of the inconvenience to you, I'm happy to give you a brand new 15-month pass whenever you want, just when you come back. And it wasn't what I was expecting. I was happy to have taken the first offer.
Yeah.
Obviously I decided to take the second offer. But above and beyond, you know, I couldn't thank her enough, but I just thought to myself, that is, as far as I'm concerned, good customer service. You know, I wasn't dishonest in what I said. I honestly thought, because of what I was told, that it meant my pass was valid. And it wasn't. So when I went to guest services to get the disability pass, I had to get the annual pass as well. So it did take a bit of time, but it was obviously worth it. And now it means if I do want to go back next year, my annual pass will see me through Halloween Horror Nights next year as well.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Phil, where did you want to go next, mate?
I think we've got to get to houses, haven't we? And before we actually get to what two houses didn't you do? So we just get that, we can get them out of the way.
Yeah, it was the Exorcist, whatever the new Exorcist film's called.
You missed a great house there.
I tell you why I didn't go to it, and it's because I had no interest in seeing the film.
I'm going to see that tomorrow.
Okay. I've not been there. Obviously, Phil, you know how much I go to the cinema. I've not been to the cinema, as you can probably tell from No Walking Movies upload, in about 3 or 4 weeks. I've been overdue a few. There's a few films out I want to see, but yeah, just not at time. But I'm not a massive fan of The Exorcist. Like, I think it's
one of the shock houses of the year. I think everyone didn't care about it before the event. What's your second one, though?
It was Dr. Odd Fellows
Circus House.
Carnival.
I don't know what it's called. Dr. Odd Fellows Twisted Origins, I think.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah. And the thing is, I did want to go. I did want to go to that one, but I just couldn't get it to line up. You know, I did The Last of Us and Stranger Things twice. I did all the other houses I did Jewel and Dragons twice as well.
Okay, actually, while you're on Jewel and Dragons, what did you think of that house? Because
I loved it.
Simon loved that one as well. I just didn't have any attachment with it, and I thought it was more of a sci-fi than a horror house, so I couldn't be bothered with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a house that's a little bit lighter in tone, and that was probably the house this year. You know, there were scares in it, especially when the dragon breathes smoke at you and you can't really see what's going to happen next, and then something glowing comes out of you. But yeah, I don't think it was a particularly scary house, but I thought the sets that they did for the house were phenomenal. Like, I really felt like I was walking through castle ruins. And at the end of the day, when I'm going through a house, that's what people obviously love to be scared. I don't love to be scared. It's weird when I go to Halloween Horror Nights. I'm not going there for the scares. I'm going there for what they actually do. I love looking at what they create in those spaces. And I thought, and I had no expectations for Jewel and Dragons at all. Like, I never went on the original attraction, so I've got no attachment to it. But it surprised me just because of what they did with the space.
Okay. So let's just, before I let Joe take control here, I am going to let you, Joe, mate.
You crack on. I'm falling asleep. I'm so tired.
Cheers, mate.
Long fucking day.
Right.
It's
so
on me.
Here we go. Simon, this is for you, mate. Let's get into the Chucky house. What did you think of it?
Well, it was a big pile of shit. And I'll just be as blazing as that because I can on this podcast, right? And I don't have to, you know, it's not like my Disneyland Paris podcast, like, where I try and tone my language down. No, fuck it.
Yay.
Look, I've not seen the TV show. And the one thing that I'll say about the house is when you're queuing up, and it was one of the longest queues that I had, actually, was Chucky. It seemed to be a really slow-moving queue. They do a good job with the TVs of, you know, kind of like getting you up to speed about what the Chucky series is like, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is, with them doing that, is that all the gory scenes they show you on that video are then what you actually see when you're walking through the house. So you're basically just seeing, you know, a waxwork dummy type setup of what you've just seen a video of that's not doing anything. Like, it's just a model. So I was like, I just didn't really understand the point of it. I didn't understand Giant Chucky. If someone can explain Giant Chucky to me, please let me know.
It didn't make any sense.
No.
Somewhere Simon's going to be listening to this raging.
That's fine.
Oh my God.
So I'll start a new feud. You know, it's been a while. the thing is, I always say this with Halloween. The thing with Halloween Horror Nights or films or anything, right, is that someone's going to like them. So you're going to find someone. I saw someone on a Facebook group or an Orlando group the other day say that he thought Halloween Horror Nights was shit. And he thought Hello Scream was, you know, the best horror event he's ever been to.
Yeah, it was quiet.
And I said to him, "Well, congratulations on probably being the first person to ever say that."
Well, wait until we record my Hello Scream episode, because I've got a lot to say about that shit show.
But the thing is, you know, and this is the thing. Like, I'm glad that Simon went. And that was the thing that he wanted to go and see, and he was able to enjoy it as much as he obviously did. I went through it once, and me and the people in front of me, we just went, "What the fuck was that?"
Yeah, that to him was my Ghostbusters. I went through Ghostbusters, it wasn't a scary house Ghostbusters, was it? But I come out that three times in a row, basically, with a massive smile on my face.
Yeah,
right.
That's what Chucky is to Simon.
And this is, and I mean, the one thing, unfortunately, it's not Halloween Horror Nights, but the one thing that gave me that this weekend, that weekend, was me going on Hagrid's for the first time. I could feel it. I did not stop smiling from the moment the bike went around the corner and shot off to the moment it pulled back into the station.
How was you with Velocicoaster?
Right. So the thing is, and I, yeah, because I haven't talked about this publicly. So the night I was, when I was saying goodbye to my daughter, I slipped off the curb at my mother-in-law's and tweaked my neck and my back. And I was in so much pain. And I thought,
you should have just gone to Walmart and bought some of their super strong drugs.
Right. Okay. So on that. So I thought, so first of all, I thought, okay, well, I've got a long flight. You know, if I sit up straight and everything like that, you know, that might help. No, it didn't. So when I first got in, when I went to Walgreens, I did get some drugs, legal drugs.
And there's a lot of people sit outside.
Yeah, that end of our drive, like, you can probably get wherever you'd like.
Oh, yeah. I thought I was actually going to get shot by one, so that was good that didn't happen. So I did get some painkillers, which helped, but I still wasn't convinced. And basically, it got to Sunday, and I thought, right, even though I'm dosing up, and I got a spray which worked really well, but obviously I knew it was still hurt, and I thought, right, I know. If I do something like the Hulk, it could go badly wrong. And I was like, I was determined to do Velocicoaster and Hagrid's. And I basically said, look, do one of them. Because I don't know. I don't want to do one and it ends up, you know, if I end up hurt, I end up hurt. But I basically made a choice. I thought, what's probably the safest option? Mm-hmm. So it was Hagrid's. I did Hagrid's twice in the end. But on the flip side of that, I also said to myself, well, if I didn't do Velocicoaster, then there's absolutely a reason I need to go back next year,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yep, there it is.
So, yeah. You know, and I was gutted, although saying that on the Monday, when I'd been kicking the idea about, well, I'm going home now, should I just risk it? It was down for most of the day.
Was it had been when the weather started getting bad as well?
No, this was like lunchtime. So the weather hadn't started to roll in or anything like that. So no, it was just, there was delays on it. There were people queuing up outside to try and go on it. So, and Jurassic Park River Adventure also kept going down on the Monday for some weird reason. Like, it'd be running 1 minute and then there'd be like 10 boats, 10 empty boats, and there'd be like a delay sign outside. Mm-hmm. And then eventually they'd open it back up. It was all a bit weird on Monday, but
due an upgrade anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. So let's get back to houses, Joe. Come on, mate. Take it away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, should we get to your favourites? Let's get to your top three. What are your top three? Starting at number three.
Oh God, that's hard.
What's hard?
Top three. I tell you, I really enjoyed. I'll put Last of Us there. Mm-hmm. I think it was very hard to do that house. You know, take a video game and turn it into a house. I think they did a good job with it. I do think they did a good job with it. But I think what it was lacking was Joel and Ellie. You know, you see them once in the house, then you see a statue of them at the end.
Yeah, no, and apparently like, Hollywood's house, they were everywhere.
Yeah, I've seen Hollywood's house. And also there's like some cool gunfire effects in Hollywood's one as well. Yeah. So I wouldn't say Hollywood's is better. I like, you know, it still had the curtain problem they usually do. But yeah, I think it was good. I was pleased, and I said I did it twice. I did think it was well done, but I kind of wish they'd done a little bit more, but it was good. I thought the sets were well done. Yeah.
Awesome.
Number two.
About the other two.
Darkest Deal.
Don't you dare.
I really enjoyed Darkest Deal, actually.
But it's not in the top three, is it? It's not in the top three.
No. And I'll tell you what else is in the top three either. Monsters.
I love Monsters. Okay. But then again, it's a run-through you have. If you don't get a good run-through in that one, it doesn't work. Right.
So there were two problems I had with Monsters. One was to do the run-through, and the second one was not. What I didn't like about Monsters is it, like the change from one thing to another just seemed to come out of nowhere. There seemed to be no indication it was about to change.
Maybe they could have took one character out of it. I think there's maybe characters.
Yeah, I don't think Jekyll and Hyde added much to it at all. I also didn't like the when you walked through to a bit and it was just somebody with like chopsticks in their eyes or whatever. What was it? Is it fire? I don't know what it was. There was somebody like sitting in a theatre booth and they had like something sticking out of their eyes when they were dead, but it was just a model. And I was like, okay, so it's just someone's dead. It just felt like it was to fill a space rather than, doing something smart with it.
By the way, did we ever get to your second favourite house?
Yeah, we'll get into that. I'm just saying. I think it's probably Yeti.
Yeah, it's good house. Okay.
Yeah, Yeti Campgrounds. I loved the original. I loved the original Yeti house. You know, I thought it was a lot of fun. Yeah. It was a mix of kind of like this one. You know, scary but campy. You know, there was a good mix of the two, and I got some good scares in it. but yeah, I don't know if it was as good. No, you know what? It wasn't as good as the first house.
No, I think the first
Yeti house was better, but I thought they captured the, you know, being in a woodland. I thought they captured that really well. So, you know, and the costumes were good. So yeah, I liked it.
Who came in three?
No, my first one, Stranger Things.
There it is. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, there were things that bothered me about it.
What, the 4-foot Vecna's?
No, not really. What I didn't like about it was the fact that, considering what the season it was based on, you know, half of it took place in like Russia.
Yeah, we needed a little rush a bit.
Just a little bit.
Especially the Demogorgon Gordon part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, when you've got, you know, you've got the Vecna bit and the house, you've got, you know, Eleven and, you know, like the creation of Vecna. Yeah. But, you know, there was three big strands in that season, and you just ignored one completely. A problem with Stranger Things houses in general, right? They always seem to miss something out that you have to, though.
There's so much in Stranger Things, you can't get it all in.
No, exactly. And that's why I'm not going to beat it up too much. But, you know, I liked the costumes. I thought it was good. I thought, you know, some of the scares were good. I liked what they did with Eddie being on, like, the platform above. You know, I thought it was, you know, as well done as you was going to get it done. And I like the fact that other than Hopper and Joyce, nearly everyone else was represented in that house. You know, like, nearly every main character was in that house. So, yeah, it was good.
Awesome. I think there's only one more thing left now. What are they called? The things from Harry Potter? I forgot what their names are.
Oh, the Dementors.
The Dementors. What did you think of that? Because I thought it was rubbish.
Oh, the Death Eaters walking around.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what? So I went there and, you know, then when you're just there in a crowd and then they suddenly start walking through, you're like, oh, it's a bit exciting. Yeah. And then they kind of like get up on the stage and do like a little bit of a show. I thought it was cool.
Then they get their wood out.
Yep, that's it. Wood's out. Yeah. Yeah. For the boys, and you know, it was, I you know, you're not going to get much, but I thought it was a nice addition. I thought it was nice that they did something in that area, because obviously they can't really do too much. So no, it was fine.
Did you do the show?
No.
Does anyone do the show?
No, I don't think anyone did the show.
I really wanted to do the show, but the problem was because of the wait times of the houses. It was, okay, do I go and see the show or do I go and do another house? And
yeah.
Houses won, yeah. You know, unfortunately.
I mean, if we had the old late show there, that's an easy one to go and watch because you just walk there.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you know, it's a long wait to get in. You know, you've got to queue up quite a bit before, then you've got to get in and it shows over and you've got to get, you know, it's a lot of time wasted.
Okay, yeah. So overall, the whole event, let's just give us your overall thoughts of an event.
Yeah, as an event, I mean, it wasn't as good as 2019.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably on a par for me for 2017. And it was an event I really enjoyed then as well. You know, I understand what you were saying, Joe, about the scare zones. I think, you know, I don't know what you can do to improve that. But, yeah, they weren't as good in general as previous years had been. I don't think the Oddfellow story was explained as well as it could have been before the event. So that was kind of like trying to figure stuff out as you was going through. And it had
Chucky. If you don't listen to the Universal podcast, you're not going to fully understand what was going on.
No, and I mean, I'm not being funny. They've got enough things. They've got enough avenues in order to do this stuff, right? You know, they've got Peacock. They've got websites, they've got socials. There's avenues for them to do like little films and stuff.
I still don't, yeah, I don't understand how there's not little mini series, you know, where you can have an episode on but you know, all the originals, and then we all sit there and go, oh, this is what's coming, this will be good to watch.
Yeah, exactly. So that was, yeah, I mean, overall, was I glad that I made the effort to go? Yes. And that's the important thing, right? You know, if I was on here now saying, God, that was a waste of money, that'd be awful. But I don't think it was. I would have liked another night. I would have liked another day in general.
Yeah.
It just, you know, timing-wise, you know, I had other stuff going on. It meant that I could only go for the time period that I did. But I was happy with what I got, what got done. And, you know, I enjoyed the event enough that if I was able to do it next year, I would in a heartbeat.
Fair enough. Well, that is pretty much it then. That is what we wanted. Nick, thanks for coming on. Before we get into Nick, come on, just quickly advertise anything of yours or anything new you're going to be planning to start sooner or later.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got my YouTube channel, which I've just renamed Electronic. That's going to be where I put all my stuff.
AEW wrestler.
It probably could be one, actually. Yeah. But that is where, so I've just recorded my own thoughts on Halloween Horror Nights. I obviously took a lot of video when I was out there as well, so I'm just at the stage now where I've got to transfer everything over and then start editing the stuff, so I'm hoping that will go out before Halloween, and that will probably be about 3 or 4 episodes of that. And I've got some gaming content, playing some old retro games that will go on there, and I've got some new podcast projects which are in the works, which will have nothing to do with theme parks. So the After Dark Podcast Network will be completely safe from me. I'll be no competition to them at all, but yeah, that's some stuff. So if you want to go and follow that or on social media, you can follow me, and I'll give you the links to put into the show notes.
Fair enough. And Joe, you got anything you want to advertise about yourself?
No, nothing.
Let me go now then. Joe, I didn't do it the last episode, so I'm going to get it back. People, go and check out Epic Fuel Vlogs on YouTube, where I go and vlog in Orlando, Florida, and Tenerife, sometimes in the UK. Not much in the UK because I bloody hate it. Now, subscribe to me. It's bloody free. I'm growing, so keep me going up the table. I don't bumlick either, so that makes it better, I think, personally. Follow us on all socials at HHE Pod and on all podcast apps. Give us a great review so we can grow on there as well. And on YouTube, subscribe as well. Nick, thanks for coming on, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, no, thanks, Nick.
Thank you for inviting me on. It's been great.
Well, it's been a great not having Simon talking Chucky shit.
You know what? I almost feel another invite coming. Me. And it will just be me and he'll invite, he'll invite me on saying, oh yeah, we want to do a follow-up episode. And it will just be me and Simon in a Zoom call for an hour.
I'll just argue. I think that'd be ratings. Right. So, Joe, end this episode, mate. I'm not saying be epic tonight. I can't be asked.
Good night. Sweet screams. Good night. Sweet screams. Be nice.
Hang on. Simon. Tatty. Bye. Bye.
Tattoo, bye bye.
The moving one-way exit is approaching. Please watch your step.